Hello everybody. This is Carola's message for Sunday the 23rd of March. Grace and Justification. Do you know Martin Luther? Martin Luther was a brilliant student. He enjoyed life, but he was afraid of God, afraid of life after his life on earth. When one of his friends died, he realised that the afterlife might not be so far away. One day while travelling on foot, he was caught in a terrible storm. He was so afraid of dying and having to appear before God that he promised God he would become a monk if he survived the storm. So he entered a monastery where he sought peace for his soul. He prayed and fasted. He suffered greatly from hunger and cold and scourged his body. He struggled but found no peace. He sought to become righteous, but he knew he was inadequate before a holy God. He tried so hard that he ended up hating God's righteousness. Thirsty for the peace he sought, he began to study the Bible, and finally a light ignited in his soul when he read the words of Romans chapter 1 verse 17, "The righteous shall live by faith." Indeed, this gospel reveals to us what the righteousness God grants consists of. It is received by faith and by faith alone. As it is said in Scripture, the righteous shall live by faith. He himself says of this, "I praise this word, righteousness of God, with a love as great as the hatred I had previously devoted to it. And the righteousness of God became for me the most glorious word." Thus, this text of Paul truly became for me the gate of paradise. One of the key words of the Bible is the word righteousness or justified. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Man will only find deep peace when he knows and appreciates what it means to be justified by God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we know this peace? We are always at peace with God and with ourselves. Are we always at peace with God and with ourselves? Or do we always experience that sense of failure, self-condemnation, the little voice that says we are not good enough, that accuses us, that robs us of our peace? What does it mean to be justified? When you are justified by God, God can no longer condemn you. There is no more punishment for your sins. You are declared not guilty by the judge. God sees you as his son, without sin, and as if you had never sinned, you are pleasing to God. This righteousness of God leads you to a life of righteousness, purity and integrity in your thoughts, feelings and actions. We do what is right, not to become righteous, but because we are righteous in Jesus Christ. Righteousness by law or by faith? The law demands righteousness. This is normal. God is holy, the law is good, and it tells us how someone can be acceptable to God. Righteousness by law says, fulfill all God's commandments and God will justify you. You will be loved, accepted and blessed by him. Under the law, everything depends on you to be blessed. Grace offers righteousness as a free gift based on faith. Righteousness by faith says, believe and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, and God no longer attributes sins to you, but through faith, God attributes the righteousness of Jesus to you as a free gift. God accepts you completely, and you are loved and accepted eternally. Everything depends on Jesus and your faith in him. The law and its requirements were just before a holy God. The problem was that man was not up to the law and God. So God sent his Son to fulfil the law for us. How did Jesus fulfil the law for us? What are the requirements of the law? Firstly, perfect obedience. Jesus is the only man who obeyed the whole law for us. For just as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man many will be made righteous. Secondly, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. Thirdly, condemnation is the punishment for every transgression. Every transgression must be punished to uphold God's righteousness. Jesus bore the judgment and punishment for our sins. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Fourthly, death is the final judgment of the law. Jesus bore my death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. The Lord Jesus fulfilled all these conditions for our justification. The law is not abolished, but fulfilled for our justification. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfil them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. You only need to accept Jesus as the one who fulfilled all the requirements of the law so that you will receive all of God's blessings. So David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. Romans chapter 4, verses 2-8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his sin. How is this possible? Because all our sins, transgressions and injustice are imputed to Jesus on the cross. God's wrath and condemnation fell upon him. He is the fulfilment of the law, and our Amen has all God's blessings. Not only is sin not imputed to us, but God imputes to us his righteousness, his purity and his holiness. What extraordinary grace! The Lord Jesus bore all our sins of the past, present and future. He bore the punishment and judgment. We often find it difficult to forget what we have done wrong. Sometimes it is difficult for us to free ourselves from shame and discomfort. We reflect on our selfishness and our failures. But God cannot be like us. There are two ways to fulfil the law. Firstly, we obey and we don't break it. Or secondly, we pay the penalty. For example, on the road, either we respect the speed limit, it's not always easy, or we pay a fine, it's happened before. But once the fine is paid, the law cannot ask us to pay a second time. Just as God, who is just, can never punish a sin twice, God could never punish you again for a sin you took to the cross. Our conscience can play tricks on us. Satan can accuse us, but not God. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. John chapter 5, verse 24. God no longer remembers your sins because they disappeared on the cross. How can we receive God's righteousness? By recognizing that no one is righteous on their own. Repent of all attempts to assert one's own righteousness, to justify oneself or to defend oneself. Accept by faith the righteousness of God freely offered through Jesus Christ. Self-justification is the greatest obstacle to receiving God's grace. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 5, verse 17. By Christ only, the man, we are made righteous freely. By Jesus Christ only, not Jesus Christ and me with my good behaviour. By Jesus Christ only we are made righteous. We have only to accept it, to say thank you, to welcome him. But self-justification is vain. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Self-righteousness is a hideous monster, causing man to become proud, judgmental, and unloving. It alienates us from God's grace. It exhausts man and makes him depressed, bitter, and discouraged. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. The Gospels describe dozens of beautiful encounters between Jesus and all kinds of people. Women, children, fishermen, tax collectors, prostitutes, rebels, a Roman centurion. Jesus meets them with such love, but there is one type of person with whom he can do nothing, those who are self-righteous. Yet we very easily fall into self-justification. It is important to search our hearts, to recognize self-justification so that we can bring it to the cross. Do I lack peace? Do I criticize myself? Do I try to improve myself, to make efforts, to fight with my own strength? Do I criticize others? Do I need to feel a little better, a little more spiritual than the other person? Do I find my value in my position, my title, or even in my ministry in the church? Jesus calls you by your name, not by your title or ministry. Do I always feel the need to justify myself, to defend myself, or to show off everything I do? And yet, through Jesus Christ alone, man is made righteous freely. I remember when I started working, the director had a very unpleasant image of me, and on the first day she said to me, I don't kiss you on the cheek because I don't consider you a colleague. Well, being Dutch, kissing is a part of French culture that I can possibly do without. But it was nonetheless a rejection, and I felt the injustice keenly. But there was nothing I could do. This director was someone with many qualities, but a calm and reasonable discussion was not possible when she had an idea in mind. I could only pray and remain respectful. I was encouraged by Psalm 37, verse 6. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. And indeed, after a month or two, she changed her attitude, and at the end of the year, I was even able to talk with her and look back on those first weeks. I was able to express myself. She was able to express herself peacefully. For me, it was nothing short of a miracle. How do we react when someone treats us unjustly? Jesus Christ alone makes us righteous. There's no need to defend ourselves or justify ourselves. He makes us righteous in the eyes of God, but he is also able to make our righteousness appear like light in the eyes of men. I don't mean that we should remain passive, but we can trust our justifier. We must therefore reject all self-justification and by faith and grace submit to the truth and righteousness of God. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. We must submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. This means submitting to the authority of a superior and cooperating fully with him without resistance or reluctance. God declares us righteous in Jesus Christ. Perhaps we feel inadequate. Perhaps we see only poor Christians. But we must submit to what God says about us and our brothers and sisters. He declares us righteous. He says he finds nothing wrong with us. He says we are his beloved daughter, his beloved son. God wants us to submit to his righteousness and to cooperate with his righteousness by putting it into practice. By his strength we can do righteous things, not to become righteous in God's eyes, nor to become righteous in our own eyes, or in the eyes of our brothers and sisters, or neighbours. No, by his strength we can do righteous things, because we are righteous by the grace of God. Thus we are justified by faith, for Jesus fulfilled the law. Our self-justification is futile. Let us welcome God's righteousness deep within us. He sees us in Jesus, and in him we are pleasing to him. By his strength we can do righteous things, because we are righteous by the grace of God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Amen.